There's a new snake in town. That's right, and we're going to find out all about him in today's episode starting right now.
Welcome to the Weird and Wacky Planet's Nature Just Got Real podcast for kids. Join KB Carr, author of the Weird and Wacky Planet series, with Chuck Darwin, Tito, and Captain Jack, as they bring you the real skinny on what's really going on in the natural world. And now, here's your host, KB Carr.
Hello, Planeteers. Welcome to the first episode of Season 2. I'm KB Carr, author of the Weird and Wacky Planet series and host of this here podcast for kids, Nature Just Got Real. And I'm so glad to be back. I really miss doing the podcast so much. And hopefully from now on, there won't be such a big gap. I also want to welcome our new listeners in Japan. Konnichiwa. Japan had the most downloads for a non-English speaking country for the last 5 episodes. And the city that had the most downloads was Spanish Fork, Utah, right here in the United States. Hello, Spanish Fork. Thank you for listening. A few changes to tell you about. I'll be doing the podcast as a monthly episode from now on until I get a better grip on my time. I hope to be able to do 2 podcasts a month soon, because I'm going to be doing virtual school visits and I'm writing a new book, Weird and Wacky Sea Creatures. I'm not sure when it will be out, but you guys will be the first to know, I promise. If you are watching this on video, which you can do on YouTube and possibly other places, you might notice that I have a new banner in the background. Hey, I lashed it to the bamboo poles myself, and it took me 3 tries. I should have filmed it. I will film the next one I get. It's going to be a banner for my books, and I will do it the same way so you can see how to do it. You know, in case you ever want to lash something to bamboo poles. Also, if you are listening to this close to the original drop date, my first book, Weird and Wacky Creatures, will be free on Amazon in ebook form on February 1st through February 5th. So go download that if you want to. And if you like it, please leave me a review on Amazon. I read them all and I appreciate them all, I swear. And I want to let you know that each new podcast episode will have a complete lesson plan for it that can be downloaded at weirdandwackyplanet.com on the podcast tab or in the show notes. Those extras should be located just under this episode title. So if you're a teacher or a parent doing virtual learning, that'll be a resource for you along with the Common Core standard codes. Now let's get into today's episode. There's a new snake in town. Yes. A new snake species has been discovered, and I had the privilege to ask the discoverer a few questions about it. Here's how it all went down. Jeff Wynell, a graduate research assistant at the University of Kansas Biodiversity Institute, whew, that's kind of a mouthful, found out that 3 specimens of snakes preserved in the Institute's biodiversity collection belonged in a category all their own. The 3 specimens are the only known members of a new snake genus and a new snake species. The findings are based on methods like DNA analysis and CT scans that look at the snake's bone structure. The newly identified Levitonius miris, glad I didn't mess that up, also known as the Waray dwarf burrowing snake, is a native to the Philippines. Jeff describes it as a miniaturized species that's much smaller than its closest relatives. He says it grows to about 6.7 inches in length, so that's about the size of this pencil. That's a tiny snake. There are no pictures of this snake in the wild because it lives underground, so that makes it difficult to study, as I can imagine. But a super cool part of discovering a new snake species is getting to name it. Jeff named it Levitonius miris. Yay, second time I didn't mess it up. After Alan Leviton, a researcher who has studied snakes in the Philippines for decades. And miris is Latin for extraordinary. Its common name honors the Wariwari people who live in the area where the snake is found. If you discovered a new species, what would you name it? I might name it after my dog, Captain Jack. Captainus Jaconius. I like it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I asked Jeff what he wants kids to know, and this is what he said. This snake has not been studied in the wild and is only known from museum specimens. This is one reason why natural history museums are important. The snake's small size, small eyes, and iridescent scales all help it to live underground. The eyes are small because the big eyes are not needed underground and would just get in the way. Iridescent scales are usually smoother, which helps to prevent dirt from sticking to the scales. The shape of the head and teeth tell us that the snake probably eats worms. Okay, this is not something I've ever thought about before at all. And there are definitely more species to be discovered. Some of these are probably already in museums but haven't been recognized as being something new. Working with people from around the world is critical to doing science. And I like how he put that, doing science. Hey, Mom, I'm going to go do some science. I like it. There you have the story of discovering a new snake. I find these kinds of discoveries so exciting because in these times of more animals making the endangered species list, a new species is so welcome. I hope you enjoyed hearing about this as much as I did, and you'll have fun with the snake activities I came up with for the lesson plan. And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
Have you ever met Count Dracula? How about a flower-faced lawn wrecker or a four-foot-long guinea pig the size of a dog? You'll find these animals and more in the book Weird and Wacky Creatures 1, part of the Weird and Wacky Planet series by KB Carr. Find them wherever books are sold and sink your fangs into your own copy.
In keeping with our snake theme for this episode, Chuck Darwin gives us a word related to the study of snakes, and who knows, it might give you a new career path if that's where your interests lie.
It's time for the weird and wacky, weighty, wondrous word.
The word for this episode is herpetology. According to environmentalscience.org, herpetology is the branch of zoology which deals with the study of reptiles and amphibians, such as snakes, turtles, and iguanas. It deals with their behaviors, geographic ranges, physiologies, development, and genetics, and more. A herpetologist is a zoologist who studies reptiles and amphibians, such as frogs and salamanders. Many herpetologists focus on conservation of these species. Others use them to assess overall environmental conditions in a particular area. Nearly all positions in this field require at least a Bachelor of Arts or a Bachelor of Science degree in biology or a closely related field. Knowledge of foreign languages can open up opportunities for fieldwork and research in other countries. Use the words herpetology or herpetologist in a sentence today and impress someone with your genius. Until next time, I'm Dr. Chuck Darwin. Cheerio.
Thank you, Chuck. That's a fun word to say. Herpetology.
Herpetology.
My dog, Captain Jack, didn't have any questions to answer this time, so she decided to tell a few snake jokes. I honestly have no idea how this is going to go. Go ahead, Jack.
If you've got a question, ask the captain.
Ahoy, mateys. I don't have any questions to answer, so I thought I'd tell you a few snake jokes instead. What is a snake's favorite dance? The mamba. Get it? A mamba is a species of snake. Why couldn't the snake talk? It had a frog in its throat. Ooh, sorry, Tito. I should have thought that one through. What do you get when you cross a snake and a dessert? A python! Because a python is also a snake species. What should you do if you see a huge snake sleeping in your bed? Sleep somewhere else. Those are the best ones I've found so far. You can find your own snake jokes or share mine with your friends. unless your friends are frogs. Then you might want to skip that one. If any of you have any questions for me, just email me at naturejustgotreal@gmail.com. I'm always listening. This is Captain Jack signing off. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for those, Jack. They were hysterical. What? That was kind of funny, wasn't it? Okay. Well, now here's Tito to give us some fascinating facts about this episode's creature. Can you guess what it is? Yeah, it's the snake. Or should I say, it's the snake. Fine. Take it away, Tito.
And now, the weird and wacky creature feature.
Today's animal is a snake that has been hidden in plain sight. That could possibly describe lots of us animals, am I right? Anywho, what makes a snake a snake? Here's some fun snake facts. There are over 3,000 kinds of snakes. And now we got one more, right? Snakes are cold-blooded, meaning their body temperature changes with their environment. So snakes in colder climates will hibernate in the winter. Snakes can't bite their food, so to eat large prey, they unhinge their jaw to swallow it whole. Seems like you and I could get yelled at for that. They can open their mouths up to 150 degrees so they can eat things that are 75 to 100% bigger than they are. If its eyes are too big for its belly, it's even possible for a snake to burst after eating something too big. There's a lesson there, am I right? Do not stuff yourself. A snake uses its tongue to smell. Then it brings that smell to its nose holes. Huh, I thought it was just licking its face a lot. Good to know. A snake's skin doesn't grow the way a human's does, so they gotta shed their skin 3 to 6 times a year. KB has a snake stint. Get it to show it to you sometime. 70% of snake species lay eggs while the other 30% give birth to live young. I did not know this. Did you? Well, you learn something new every day. And there you have some snarky snake facts you can use to amaze your friends with. I like doing that. I'm Tito, and I'll see yous all next time.
Thanks, Tito. Those are some really interesting facts. I also didn't know some snakes had live births. I thought they all laid eggs. Now I'm going to have to research which ones are which, won't you? And for those of you watching this on video, I would totally have busted out my snake skin if I could find it. I'm so sorry about that. Maybe in another episode I'll find it. But anyway, I rescued a snake a couple years ago from a bad home situation. And when I was cleaning out his tank, I found this cool snake skin, so I kept it. He's found a very nice home and is happy and healthy now, for those of you who are wondering. In other snake news, there is a video of the brown snake in Guam learning to use its body as a lasso to climb a pole to get to its prey. Scientists did not have this move on their list of the things snakes could do, because there's a list. And have been astonished at the dexterity and mental problem-solving skills these snakes have shown. They are experimenting with an ice cream cone-shaped pole to see if that doesn't deter the snake from reaching the nests of critically endangered bird species. Huh. In order for that to work, you'd have to know the length of the longest brown snake ever, figure out the circumference of it if it were to bite its own tail and make a circle out of its body, and make the diameter of the widest part of the cone bigger than that. See? Geometry is useful. I know what you're thinking. Why not just make the whole pole that circumference? But then you wouldn't get to see the snake trying to scale it, and what fun would that be? Okay, episode recap. What are my takeaways from today? There are more species out there than have yet to be discovered. And that would make an excellent book. Weird and wacky recently discovered creatures. Someone should write that. Maybe someone like me. You could discover something and get to name it. I think that's kind of a big deal. A snake's head, shape, and teeth can determine what it eats. Seriously, that is not something I've ever thought of before, but it makes total sense. Some snakes give birth to their babies instead of laying eggs. Live birth in snakes. Mind blown. What are some of your takeaways from today's episode? Don't forget to download the episode's lesson plan and check out the activities. The crossword was kind of hard in some places. I was a little stumped. See how you get on with it. And don't forget the recommended reads. Yay, snake books! Thank you for joining me for an interesting look at an interesting animal. And a big thanks to Jeff Wynell for his eagle eye and discovering a new species and talking to me about it. Until next time, go have a slithering, hissing adventure in your neighborhood.
That wraps up the show for today. Thank you to our sponsor, Weird and Wacky Planet. And thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. And thank you for sharing. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Let us know if you do, and we might mention you on the show. Until next week, go have an adventure in your neighborhood.